Good morning. So glad that you've joined us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. With me in the studio is Dr. Rich McCarroll. And Brother McCarroll, we were speaking last time about the grace of God and how awesome a message that we have, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Every one of us are wretches. And what a blessed truth it is to be able to say, let me tell you how my life's been changed. And God gives us that opportunity. We don't have to be preachers. All we have to do is just be children of God, and it's like one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. But the grace of God is a message that often is lost in today's society. Hellfire and damnation was an expression that for some churches they took it as a title of pride. Yes, there is hellfire and damnation, but should our ministries be known first and foremost by that term? And so that was the quote that I gave as we began this discussion a couple of days ago. This obviously was what Jonah wanted the Ninevites to experience. He wanted them to go through the judgment of God, but yet God wanted to show them grace.
Sure, because Jonah felt that that is what the Ninevites deserved, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
But so did Jonah in his rebellion.
Right.
So do we all.
Right.
And I think the key is that we have in our world today, someone said our world is becoming more and more hopeless. And I define hopeless this way. I always have thought of hopeless in this type of definition. Hopeless is being in a situation where you don't see any way out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, okay, tell me that I'm separated from a holy God. I know that. I may be better than my neighbor. I may be better than someone else I know. I may not sin like they do. I may not violate the holiness of God like they do. But the object is not comparison with one another. It's comparison with a holy God. He is ultimately holy. Who, literally, who in their right mind would ever call themselves as holy as God?
Yeah, nobody.
So we are all less holy than God, so mm-hmm. we're in a predicament
mm-hmm.
because God can't allow any sin into his presence. So don't just tell me that. Tell me of the hope. Tell me of the escape. Tell me of the way out.
Right.
And the way out is through Jesus Christ. And I think that we find many, many people in our world today who know they are separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be sharing with them first and foremost the way out, which is through Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Many times as a counseling pastor, I have the opportunity to use Romans 15:4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, of course, the Old Testament scriptures, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Exactly right.
And that is the message that we have. The comfort of the scriptures brings hope. And so consequently, all we have to do is share the truth of the scriptures. And I like the word patience there, too. We become so impatient often as churches and individual believers who want to witness. We become impatient with the work of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in his way. But yet it says, through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And then it says in the next verse, now the God of patience. That's where we get patience. And then you look at verse 13 and it says, now the God of hope.
Yep.
Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And so what a joy it is to be able to share with those around us that he is the God of hope.
He is, absolutely. And even when we speak of his grace, there is what we would say specific saving grace
mm-hmm.
for the believer. That goes on to be there is sustaining grace and there is serving grace and all the rest.
Right.
But for the one who is yet to trust Christ as Savior, there also is a manifestation of grace. We call it common grace.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it rains on one who is holy in Christ before God and a believer in Christ, and it rains on the one who is a rejecter of Christ, is because of the common grace of God.
Right.
But even when we think of that common grace, another verse you just quoted from Romans and another verse that came to my mind is in the first part of Romans where Paul is saying to those in Rome in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, do you not know that the goodness of God or the common grace of
right,
God
right.
is intended to lead you to repentance, to that saving grace.
Exactly.
That is the most exciting thing to me. It seems as if there is so much that God has put into this world that points over and over and over again for the fact that he desires to give to all saving grace.
Right.
But in order for us to receive that, we must believe. For by grace through faith, we must believe.
Right. And in order to believe, we must hear the story.
That's right.
Of Christ and his payment for our sins. And of course, that's where each one of us come in. Now, for Jonah, he was told to go. He rebelled. But boy, when he got there, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, as you were mentioning. When he got there and began to preach the message, just to watch what God did.
You know, the second half of Jonah's ministry was just powerful. I mean, the first half of his ministry was powerful. And even as we shared in 2 Kings, which is the second place where he's mentioned in the Old Testament, he was used to save the northern kingdom by a prophecy, a prediction that he gave to the king to fortify their defenses in the north. But after the fish, after the storm, after God's grace called really Jonah back to the center of his will, there was such a powerful usefulness of Jonah when he got to Nineveh. Greg, we have one of the greatest spiritual awakenings, revivals in any recorded history is there in Nineveh. And I think through all of that, Jonah began to learn some of those lessons that God wanted him to learn, and that has to do with how God thinks about people. God is very concerned with people. That God, as we said the last time, is more interested in manifesting his grace than his judgment. But I think also where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Always. No matter how deep the sin is, there is always greater grace that supersedes that sin. And I would even say today, even as we think of those who are listening to that broadcast, you may be listening to our voice today, and you may be a believer in Christ, and you may have walked away for whatever reason. Maybe there was a tragedy that came to your life, a trial that came to your life, a brokenness, and you may have walked away, and you may be pursuing things that you know in your heart are not pleasing to your Heavenly Father. But I want you to know that your Heavenly Father can still use you, maybe even more powerfully than he has ever used you before, if you will simply come to him in your brokenness and allow him to restore you from brokenness to wholeness, just as he did to Jonah.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
That's right. And many times when we minister out of our own sense of brokenness, there is a greater effectiveness and a passion and a compassion for our ministry. Last year, my mother went to be with the Lord, and 3.5 months later, my mother-in-law went to be with the Lord. You know, I had officiated funerals of the mothers of my folks for years. But after my mother went to be with the Lord, and then my mother-in-law went to be with the Lord, I remember the next funeral I had of a mother, I handled that funeral in a different way. There was a renewed awareness of how those very people felt who I was ministering to. Because I remembered what I had come through and how God had ministered to us in our times of grief.
Because God always gives you a ministry out of your misery.
Absolutely. He does. He does. And so whoever is listening, you may be broken and you may have fouled up your life big time, but I want you to know it is impossible to foul up your life beyond the reach of the grace of God. And God can still use you. Just think of Peter. Peter, who is boldly proclaiming in his pride, Lord, let them all forsake you. I won't forsake you. And Peter forsakes him. And yet in John 21, the Lord restores him to ministry and gives him the incredible privilege of going forth and feeding my sheep, which to me is incredibly impactful because Peter had been an evangelist. And the Lord moved him from being an evangelist to a pastor. Feed my sheep is a pastoral role.
Right.
And so we may have looked at Peter's denial and said, Peter's done.
Yeah.
And yet the Lord says, no, Peter, you're going to be a pastor.
Right.
Go feed my sheep.
Brokenness. I'm reminded of Jacob fighting with, he thought was an angel, was actually, I believe, the Lord. And finally, when the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh and he realized, I'm in a mess, I'm facing my brother Esau today. He's got 400 men. It's not a welcome home party. I'm in a mess. And he says, Lord, would you bless me? And the Lord said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, which means trickster or deceiver, but Israel, which means God commands. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And then he said, he blessed him there. After the brokenness came the blessing.
Right.
After the brokenness came the most effective ministry that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, would ever have. And we fight brokenness so much, though, don't we?
We do. We absolutely do. And yet before that full manifestation of grace, whether it is in salvation, we have to come to the end of ourselves and realize it is only through Christ and Christ alone.
Right.
Not Christ in my works, but Christ alone. And then for a believer who wanders and comes back, there is that sense of absolute abject brokenness, even as we see Jonah in chapter 2 and verse 8, where he says, I have forfeited my right for your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That is abject brokenness. Now, he hadn't, but that was his confession before God.
Right.
He said, really, I have forfeited it all. And in a sense, he had. He had. He did not have a right to
God's mercy. As far as right is concerned,
right.
Yes,
as far
right,
as a right goes. But yet God is always there to be merciful. But the key to it is, Jonah came to the end of himself. He was no longer bargaining. He was no longer saying, if you do this, I'll do this. He simply came to the end of himself and said, God, I'm through running. I surrender all.
So those that are listening to our broadcast this morning may themselves, as you said a moment ago, have been in their minds burned, hurt, wounded in whatever way, and they've just said, that's it, I'm done, I'm gone. And may be walking away from God. And really, it's a surprise that they're listening to a broadcast like this morning, but it could be a God-ordained thing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Spirit of God may have desired them to hear that. And I just want to say that if God can certainly use Jonah as powerful as he did, God can use any of us, no matter what our path of brokenness may be.
Right. Maybe a different aspect of ministry, but it's still some type of ministry where life can touch life.
That's right. And all ministry is a privilege anyway, because in all ministry, it's all about God. It's not about us.
Right.
I think that's the other lesson that we see in Jonah, is that it declares that when Jonah began to preach to the Ninevites, there's a great phrase in Jonah. In fact, I find the greatest truth in Jonah are found in the smallest phrases. And we read that the Ninevites believed God. Doesn't say they believed Jonah.
Amen.
Said they believed God.
Amen.
Jonah simply went and gave him the word of God, and they believed God.
When you preach God's word,
That's right.
And of course, as we come to the end of this broadcast this morning, that is a fantastic word for each one of us. They don't necessarily have to believe us, but as we share the word of God, that is what they must believe to be saved.
Absolutely. It's all about God. It's not about us. All about God and his grace and the gift of Christ.
Exactly. So you may have some folks that maybe you've given up on. Don't. Just continue to pray as God opens the door to share his word about the truth of the grace and the love of God. Let God do an awesome work in you and then through you. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.